This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We want to continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. This evening, come to chapter 8. And I'd like to read chapter 8. It's 13 verses long. And Paul is going to deal with what was an issue of the city at that time, but it's a principle that we need to look at, and that's the principle that we're going to be looking at this evening. What needs to be the guiding force of our lives in directing us how to understand, how to respond to people. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means the liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in an idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be embodied, be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall seek the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh, while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Let's just open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word tonight. Lord, help us to understand the importance and what should guide our lives and the way that we deal with people and deal with situations, and how we should walk in accordance to your word. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at what was happening in this culture at this time, in the city of Corinth, there were a lot of temples to different gods, and these gods would have sacrifices given to them, and then the people would eat of the meat or the sacrifice that had been offered to the god in the temple. And they would do it as part of the worship to that God. Now, there were people that had come out of that pagan worship. They'd been involved in those temples and in that worship in that manner. And they identified the meat that was offered to those gods as part of the worship of that God. And so when they would eat that meat, they would think that they were having fellowship, in essence, with that God, even though that God was no God. Now, what Paul has been asked, as we said last time, he was asked a number of questions by the Corinthian Christians on how to deal with certain situations that they were dealing with. If you look at our culture, we don't have necessarily temples where we go to eat meat, but we have there are activities that are involved where they're really, it's the worship of pagan gods. And how do we respond as Christians when you have people that have come out of these things? And what is our attitude to be towards these things? Now, Paul's saying that as Christians in Corinth, they had knowledge that especially those who have been Christians for some time, they had knowledge that the younger Christians didn't have. They understood that, for example, this meat was just meat. And they understood that these gods were no gods, that they had no power, they had no authority, they were driven by demons, not by the true and the living God. And they understood that there was only one God. But Paul says, if you have that knowledge and you just use knowledge to approach the issues and don't really come at it with an attitude of wrapping that knowledge in love, it puffs up and makes you proud and arrogant, and you can offend and destroy instead of help. And so he's saying, how should they deal with this particular situation? And how do we deal with people that are involved in that have a tender conscience towards things, and do we just run them over with our knowledge? Well, Paul is saying, and let's begin at verse 1, and he says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up." Okay? Knowledge, in other words, makes you proud. If you look at Satan in heaven had tremendous amount of knowledge. God created him as the highest of the angelic beings. He created him to stand before the throne of God and lead in worship of the Lord. He had knowledge of who Christ was. He had knowledge of the Father. He had knowledge of the Spirit. He had all kinds of knowledge, but it made him proud. And he viewed himself, because God had placed him in the position he had, and he had this knowledge, that he stood above and he should be equal to or above even God. And it puffed him up and brought pride. Pride entered in and caused sin. And that was really the beginning of the downfall of Satan, is when pride entered his life and sin was found in him. And it resulted in his losing his position, losing his authority, and ultimately will result in his final judgment, where he'll be judged by the Lord for eternity because of his rebellion against God, which was really caused by the sin of pride. And Paul's saying, we need to guard against that sin. Well, how do you guard against pride? He doesn't say, don't have knowledge. One of the things that you see that's happening in our world today is that the church is really dying for a lack of knowledge. They're not being taught God's Word. They're not being taught the authority and the truth of God's Word. And so if you don't have knowledge, that's not a good thing. But how do we, number one, accept that knowledge? And secondly, how do we apply that knowledge? And Paul tells us. He says in the last portion of chapter verse 1, he says, "But charity edifieth." In other words, unconditional love that God has shown to us should be expressed by us to others. And it's through the love of other people that we will apply the knowledge that God has given to us. And the word edify means to build up, to encourage, to make one to grow or to improve. That's the concept here. He's saying, how do we apply knowledge in a manner that will cause the people to be edified or to grow in their wisdom and their knowledge and to be drawn closer to Christ? How do we do that? Through unconditional love that can only be given to us by Christ, who has shown that same type of love for us. So he lays it out at the beginning of what the problem is if we separate love from knowledge, and we need to combine them together. There are many people that, as I've said before, have taken God and they try to dissect God and just take the parts they want to take. God is truth, but he's also love. And you can't separate his truth from his love. If you separate and take just truth, you become something that is legalistic, and you really cannot help people with legalism, but you enslave them. and you cause their conscience to be weighed down and they're never set free, but rather you're heaping sin upon sin. And that's really what happens with legalism. You don't set people free, but you enslave them to greater legalistic laws. That's what the Pharisees did. They caused the people to be enslaved to more and more laws. They added onto the Word of God. They caused people to constantly feel that they could not do enough. If the Scripture said that they were to do this, the Pharisees said they were to add this more on top of it. And if they didn't do the additional, then they really weren't seeking to follow God. And so that's what happens if you just take God and attempt to take God's truth apart from His love. If you take His love apart from the truth and just say, well, I'm going to love people, then you have something that has no meaning and it has no purpose, and it really becomes just really useless. It can't deliver anybody from anything. But again, it causes people to flounder and not have direction to their life and not understand how they can be set free from their sin. And today you see that in many churches where they basically say everyone's going to get saved. And universalism is a form of, well, I believe the Scripture is nothing but love. And, the fact that there is truth there that says all men are sinners and all men stand condemned before God. And all men will face judgment apart from the salvation that is found in Christ. But you just say God is love, and so He won't reject anyone, and all people will get to heaven eventually somehow. What you're doing is you're preventing people from being delivered from their sin again. You can't separate the truth. And so what Paul is saying here is don't come with just all this knowledge apart from God's love and expect to be able to deliver the truth in a manner that will help people. Now he gets into the question. And the question that is specifically asked is, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth, well, let's just answer that statement as well. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. And that goes back to the whole concept of pride. If one thinks that they have got all the answers in and of themselves, they don't. They don't know anything. And I stopped to think of a man that I met one time, and he was a very, very well-educated man, and he was talking to me about his field. And I said, well, you really know a lot in your field. And he says, no. He says, the more that I learn, the more I realize I don't know hardly anything. And I think if we're all honest about that, if you really gain knowledge in one area of life, for example, let's just take someone who's an astronomer and he's looking at the stars and the universe and he studies it his whole life. What is the one thing that he knows? He's never going to know all there is to know about the stars and the universe. And the more he studies, the more he realizes he doesn't know. I don't know a lot about the stars in the universe. I know a little bit about our solar system. I know a little bit less about the Milky Way. And I know a whole lot less once you get to the other galaxies that are out there and how they function and how they go around. But there's guys that have studied it their whole life, and they know that this galaxy is over there and there's other galaxies out there. But the more that they study, the more they realize they don't know and they can't see everything. They don't know what happens with these galaxies and what happens when a star dies, what causes a star to die. They don't know these things. And the more they study, the more they realize they don't know. And it can be applied to any field. But it's really true for us as Christians. As we grow in our knowledge of Christ, I don't know about you, but the more that I study the Bible, the more I realize I need to know more. And what Paul is saying is the person who thinks he's got it all under control and has got all this knowledge really hasn't gotten to the point where he knows much of anything, because he hasn't realized how little he knows. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. And so he's saying, but really what it amounts to is if we know the Lord, and you stop to think that God is the one who is the source of all knowledge, God is the one who knows all things, we're known of him. And if we love Him, He knows us. And then we have access to His wisdom and His knowledge and also His love. And so Paul is going on, he's saying, this is the foundation and the basis by which we come as Christians, that we are to be found in the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord because we're God's, and it's His love that enables us to know anything. Now, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things offered in the sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. That's the knowledge that we have. Now, the average pagan out there, they don't have that knowledge. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, they've got some foundational understandings because of the conscience that God has given to man, because of his intellectual mind and ability to think, as he looks at everything, and if he thinks logically, which oftentimes the pagan's eyes are blinded by their sin and their desire to continue in sin. But if he would just think logically and look, we said that he stands without excuse because the world points to the fact there had to be a creator, there has to be a God, there has to be someone that I stand accountable to, there's someone who has given me life, and there's someone who's given me this inward guiding directional purpose in my life, which is my conscience, that tells me right from wrong, and that's why I feel guilty. But most people don't. They're blinded by sin and don't respond to their conscience and don't respond to the revelation, the general revelation around them. And so they're standing there in total ignorance. We have knowledge that they don't have. So how do we approach them? Do we approach them by just dumping all this knowledge on them? And is that the way that you really help people? And you just say, you are so ignorant, you are so foolish, and you really don't show any love to them. What he's saying here is you have to come with a heart of compassion, and your knowledge has to be applied with love. And just as God didn't come to us without expressing His love for us, even though He pointed out to us that we needed a Savior, even though He convicted us of sin, even though we were brought under His convicting Spirit, yet He revealed to us the depth of His love for us, and He desired to set us free from our sin. So He's saying we need to come in the same manner, because the same God that we know has loved us, and we walk in His love. As concerning, therefore, the eating of these things that are offered to idols and sacrifice, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, neither in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but as to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus, by whom are all things and we by Him. And he's saying there, we know that God is, there's one God, everything was created by Him, everything was redeemed by Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the world doesn't have that knowledge. They're still living in this false ideology, false belief system. Now, he's saying in verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto his, this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. And so he's saying there's some that don't have the knowledge that there's only one God. And even though they may be coming out of paganism and they're a brand new Christian, they haven't really understood the depth of what it means that God is the only God. And so they're still looking at these temples and they're thinking, that is a God that still has power. I remember, and unless we think that that doesn't impact Christians, I remember a friend of ours that came out of Roman Catholicism. And he said that when he got saved, he had been invited to an evangelical church on the West Coast, and the pastor preached the gospel, and he got saved. And so he, in the morning, he would go to the evangelical church first, and then he'd feel so guilty, he'd go back to the Catholic church. And he was doing this for some period of time, and all of a sudden, it really became aware to him. He says, what am I doing and what are they really saying at the Roman Catholic Church? Are they really worshiping the God that's redeemed me? And God began to reveal to him the heresy within the Catholic Church and how that it was really paganism dressed up in Christian terms, and that he really was worshiping God only when he went where there were Bible teachers who were preaching God's word and we could fellowship with true believers. And so he was, finally came out where he didn't feel this guilt that he had to go to the Catholic Church, but it had been drilled into his head ever since he was a little kid and he grew up in Roman Catholicism, went to Catholic schools, that you have to be in church and you have to go to the Catholic Church and there's no other church but the Catholic Church, and if you go to another church you're committing sin, and all of this had been drilled in his head, and God had to deliver it from him, and it didn't come immediately, even though the knowledge was there and everything was there. And if those people had heaped guilt upon his guilt and said, why are you continuing to go into the Catholic Church? They could have pointed it out, because we love you, we're going to talk to you about this. But if they just condemned him, it would have been heaping guilt upon guilt. And that's what Paul is saying here. These are baby Christians. They don't understand what these idols are. And they're still struggling with the fact that this is meat, and this meat takes on this mystical form when it's offered to the idol. And then if you partake of it, you're actually communing and having fellowship with this idol. And then if they see you go and get some of this meat and eat of it, then they're saying you as a Christian are actually involved with this idol worship. And so Paul's saying, this is the issue. Are you going to be willing to continue to help these people stay in bondage or to be delivered from that bondage? And so what does he say that they need to do? But take heed lest by any means this liberty, well, in verse 8, but meat commandeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. And as Christians, we know that. Meat isn't what determines what makes us holy and righteous. It's Christ. And the Lord showed this to Peter when he brought and laid before him all the things, both clean and unclean, and he said, unclean, and he said, take and eat. And Peter said, well, there's unclean things before me. And God showed him and revealed, he said, what the Lord hath made clean is clean. And we were told that if it's taken with thanksgiving and prayer and offered to the Lord in thanksgiving, and realize that God has given it to us for that purpose, it's not unclean. And so he's saying this is a liberty that we have in Christ, that these people that came out of paganism, they were still held by this bondage. And so he's saying, how do we deal with this? Because we have this liberty. We know that this meat, if we went down to the market and they take meat that was left over and they go down and they sell it at the meat market, and so if they went and we bought it from somebody that had been and had been offered to an idol as a sacrifice, and we bought that meat, did that somehow have an impact on our life as a Christian? He said, no, it doesn't. But if someone sees us who has that come out of that, it could have an impact on their life. And so he's saying, what do we do? For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And he's saying that his conscience will be brought under bondage. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. In other words, you're causing him to come under tremendous problems in his life simply because you want to have a piece of meat. And you want to eat it in a certain way. And so he's saying, how do you approach this? Well, he said, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. And so he's saying, what needs to be the motive for what you're doing? You need to understand that if you hurt another person and cause them to continue to be drawn back into a sinful lifestyle because of something that you do or say, you're not only hurting that brother, but by hurting that brother, you're hurting Christ. And so Paul says you need to walk not only in knowledge, but also love. Now, he closes out this portion in verse 13 by saying, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I shall eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Now, there's a lot of things that we can do that the world would draw people back into the world because the world identifies with them. And so I'm just trying to think of examples, but I really can't at the moment. But the thing is, what we need to do is to realize we should be walking in the character of Christ, in the love of Christ, and understand that we are to be there to help people grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior and show them that we love them. And by doing that, we're edifying them to build them up in the wisdom and knowledge of Christ and presenting the whole picture of God, that He's both truth and love, and that He wants to deliver us from the bondage of being held in bondage to things of this world that really have no control over them if we are set free by the power of God and understand the proper position that Christ needs to have in our life, and we exemplify that to others by the things we do and say. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand these things. Help us to understand this passage of Scripture, which is a little difficult to interpret in the day in which we live because we don't have temples here, but we have other things that we can get involved in and do that really may not be anything wrong with, but we can make them the people that have made them an idol or a god in their life have been enslaved to. And if we begin to make them so important in our life, they may be confused and drawn into bondage again. And Lord, we pray that You would just help us to be sensitive and to walk in Your power and in Your love and not seek to be showing off knowledge, but rather to show off the true character of our Redeemer and Lord. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to hymn number 203. Hymn number 203. 203.